Well, hello.
Good morning.
And welcome to this service with the Unity here at Unity City of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today and invite you to join us in the Zoom Fellowship following this message and meditation. In the Zoom Fellowship, you'll get to hear beautiful music, have a chance to discuss and ask questions about the message, and fellowship with your Unity family. If you've never been part of that unit, that Zoom Fellowship, you'll find it to be very enlightening and just adds to the whole church experience. And you can find a link to the Zoom Fellowship in your weekly update and e-newsletter that you receive. Now, if you're not receiving the e-newsletter or weekly update, please see information below by clicking on Show More right below this. If you're watching this on YouTube, and just click on that Show More and you'll be able to get the URL for our website. If you have been spiritually fed by this message and meditation, please consider donating to the Unity Center of Light. If you're watching this service on YouTube, please click again on that Show More link and below, and you'll find various ways in which you can give. And let me just share that we truly thank you in advance for your generous offerings. Now, before we get started, we want to share a Memorial Day message with you. If you just give me a minute to make that shift. Okay, this is Pamela and I today, so both of us standing up here, nobody can run the technology. But we want to share this message with you. So let us on this Memorial Day remember the soldiers throughout our history who courageously gave their lives for our country. And let us on this Memorial Day remember all those whose lives were taken senselessly due to gun violence. And let us also remember the loved ones in our lives who are no longer with us.
May we never forget that freedom isn't free. May we hold in our minds the many in memory of all. We do not know them all, but we owe them all. Never forgotten, forever loved, and honored.
All right, and so it is. And now we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, May 29th. The key word is comfort, and the affirmation is the love in my heart is my comfort. If the sadness of loss diminishes my joy as I think of happy experiences with the loved ones who are no longer with me, I remember that the love we shared will bind us together always. Love can never die. Love, the most beautiful attribute of God, is present always and everywhere. I am comforted as my heart opens to the divine love within me, knowing that this same love enfolds all of those I hold dear, no matter where they are on the eternal journey of life. Peace and strength grow in my awareness as I open myself to love's expression. I bless everyone who comes to mind today with a loving thought. I speak a loving word or perform a simple act of kindness whenever I can. As I bring comfort to others, I am comforted also. And the scripture reading is Psalm 119:76, and it reads, "Let your steadfast love become my comfort according to your promise to your servant." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday lesson with Reverend Butch.
Thanks, hon. With you didn't probably notice, but with us trying to do the extra slide and whatnot, I forgot to put up the one with the mission statement, but we just let that go. So today's talk is called The Infinite Way to Conscious Living. Now, we've been doing The Infinite Way to Abundant Living, And this is also part of the same series. It's just that what we're going to talk about today, it just came to me to change that word to conscious living. Because, you know, life is incredibly fragile. It's an incredibly fragile proposition. And quite often our daily routine, you know, we just find ourselves expending a lot of energy and a lot of urgency on things that in the grand scheme of things do not actually really matter, you know. They only seem to matter because in the moment they demand so much from us that they just take up all of our mind, it seems to be. But then there are those times when something happens that stops us in our tracks and reminds us of just how fragile life really is. Like, as we all know, and we're all still, you know, just, I don't know if you want to call it hurting or in just disbelief about the shootings that happened in Buffalo on May 14th, 2022, and in Texas on May 24th. You know, events like this causes us to pause and wonder, what is happening in the consciousness of humankind? You know, there have been 214 mass shootings so far in 2022, in which 17,300 people have lost their lives due to gun violence. This is according to the Gun Violence Archive. So events like this keep us either consciously or unconsciously in a state of shock, disbelief, and dismay. And if you think about that word dismay, it means sudden loss of courage or resolution due to alarm and fear. And, you know, we may not even be aware of all that we're experiencing. You know, all these things are in our mind, but we don't really understand maybe the total impact it's having on us. I know I woke up Friday morning, actually 3 o'clock in the morning, with this real extreme pain in my neck. So I went to see my chiropractor. Fortunately, she had an opening. And while Dr. Sam was working on me, she remarked that my trap muscles were angry. And she asked if I was stressed. Well, I replied, no, you know, everything is great. See, in my conscious mind, everything was great. Yes, I think about all that's going on, but I didn't think that I was stressed. And she said there was a lot of stress in my trap muscles and in my neck, okay? But then as I thought about this lesson, I realized how our bodies, in response to our souls, are trying to let us know what is really going on within us, okay? And the truth is, we are one, whether or not we choose to believe that that is the truth, okay? We are one whether we choose to believe that we are one or not. So when tragedy strikes one of us, it strikes all of us. And when we talk about oneness and unity, we're referring to being one in spirit. Spirit being the pure energy that binds everything together. It is the divine energy that is the essence of our being, and as well as the essence of everything else. Now, this is how one source explains it. Says all objects in the universe, including human bodies, are composed of energy. That energy is the foundation of all matter and exchanges with everything else. The same energy that composes one person composes all people, okay? So when something happens like, you know, these last two shootings, we are all affected by it, even if we didn't see the news and didn't even know that it occurred. So it's not a thing where, you know, you see it and then you're upset about it. The fact that it happened, even if you did not even know that it happened, you are affected by it. So the ripple effect that occurs in that in which we live and breathe and have our being, and that's a good way of putting, the ripple effect that happens in that in which we live and breathe and have our being affects all of us, causing us to ask that universal question, why? And as we read in Psalm 42:5, we ask ourselves, why, my soul, are you downcast? So I venture to say that we, the human race, ask the, why question more than anything else, especially when it comes to tragedy. And even though it is, you know, truly a legitimate question, the why question is a truly legitimate question, it typically leaves us wanting. possibly because why is not the right question. Even when you're opposing it to the, opposing it to the universe, or I'm calling it the universe, you might be posing it to God. Why God? Okay. So if you really think about it, every time we ask a why question in frustration or desperation, we're posing this question to our perception of God. Okay. Even if we're asking each other, we're really posing it to the universe. We're posing it to our perception of God. And again, we read from Psalm 42, this time from verses 1 through 5. It says, as the deer yearns for streams of water, so my soul yearns for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Day and night, my tears have been my food while people challenge me all day asking, where is your God? Okay. And so the question, where is your God, is equivalent to asking, where is your faith, your strength, your courage? Or more specifically, this will apply to ourselves. Where is my faith? Where is my strength? Where is my courage? So the purpose of the study of spiritual metaphysics is to learn how to ask better questions. Now, to paraphrase the words of Elon Musk, it was in an interview that I was watching him and I was writing these things down. He said, the question is often harder to formulate than the answer. Let me say that again. The question is often harder to formulate than the answer, even though the answer is more important than the question. So to be able to hear the right questions percolate up from within you is the key to being able to hear and understand the answers that come to you from the universe. And the answers come to the degree that we are able to allow the answer to expand the scope and scale of our consciousness. Now, I have to admit, I did take that from what he said, but then I, embellished it to match this concept that we're looking at right now. So allowing ourselves to remain open and receptive to receiving the right questions. What is a question I really want to ask? So we have to be open and receptive to receiving the right questions to ask that will lead to the answers that we seek. So we're asking the question in the wrong way, and so we're not getting the answers we're looking for because we're not formulating the right questions. But to be able to do that, to be open and receptive to receiving the right questions to ask, that will lead to the answers we seek is the metaphysics, is the metaphysics of prayer and meditation and the contemplation of spiritual things. So life often catches us off guard, causing us to react from fear. And again, this is a legitimate response. But at some point, we want to be able to move into a consciousness where we ponder, wonder, think deeply about what is ours to understand and do. Now, pondering can lead into meditation, in which we are clear and open. It clears and opens our mind to receiving both the deeper questions and answers pertaining to the events and circumstances occurring in the world or occurring in our lives. Okay, let me say it again. So pondering can lead us into meditation. Pondering can lead us into meditation in which we clear our and open our minds to receive both the deeper questions and the answers pertaining to the events and circumstances occurring in the world or in our lives. And the world as we are experiencing it now is in turmoil and desperately needs a miracle. Now, we may be in a mental space where we either consciously or unconsciously believe that the chaos is too great to be affected by a miracle. We have to think about that. Even though we know the verse, it says, with God, what? Everything is possible. But many of the things that are going on in the world right now, you're asking yourself, what miracle can clean all this up, so to speak? But as Albert Einstein expressed, there are two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. And if we believe the second idea, truly believe that everything can be impacted by a miracle, then we become the miracle. By believing a miracle can heal what is going on, we become the miracle. And eventually, we become the miracle worker. And that is our work, to become miracle workers, meaning to hold the consciousness of miraculous possibilities occurring in the world. And that's as opposed to the other thinking that might go on. Okay, now we're the holders of the consciousness of miracles. And each week in this spiritual community, we hear stories that range from the birth of a newborn child, to the start of a new life in marriage or in a new career, you know, to hearing of the onslaught of an illness, to the struggle to recover, to the passing of our loved ones, like we experienced this past week with the passing of our dear Willie Sutton. So our prayers and all of these life experiences remind us of how precious and fragile life really is. So precious, in fact, that it is important to learn how to develop a kind of spiritual peripheral vision. All right, let me say that again. Life is so fragile that we need to learn how to develop a spiritual peripheral vision. Now, the word peripheral means to perceive or become aware of something that is just outside of our normal conscious awareness, okay? So from a perspective of compassion, this is the ability to hear, feel, see, sense the cry for help that each of us are expressing from time to time. Now, why is this important? Because most of us are asking for some type of help all the time, whether we realize it or not. And it is the spiritual work of all of us to expand our awareness, to be able to sense each other's cry for help, as well as to be able to sense each other's joy, okay? So we're here to serve others directly and peripherally. Am I saying that correctly? Peripherally, okay? Peripheral service to others is when your heart is open enough to detect that someone is in need of your love and support, making you conscious enough to provide some loving, helpful words or acts. And I bet you many of you can even think about times you've done that, you know, often without them even knowing that that is what you are doing, okay? You got some intuitive thing. So your intuition tells you to call, to send a card, an email, a text, say a kind word, give a gentle touch, or simply a smile. And there's an infinite number of ways that we can share uplifting, healing messages of love and compassion with each other. So this is the work of a miracle worker. But of course, to be peripherally aware, you have to be somewhat awake and unencumbered by the weight of your own life. So remember, our first work is our own healing. And this, you know, in this work we must attend to daily, okay? As a character in some show I was watching, I don't know, Pam and I were watching a show, and I don't remember who it was, but I'm always writing down these quotes. And this is what the character said. He said, "Your hopes and plans do not shift the course of your destiny. Your daily choices do," okay? So what do we, you know, every day we must do our own inner work. Because as miracle workers, we have to remain awake enough to listen to more than the chatter that's going on in our own heads. And we want to do this so that we can hear each other's cry for help. So learning to be peripherally aware is another way to apply the truth principles we learn here. It's another way to integrate these principles into the way we live our lives. So think about the idea of peripheral awareness and how you can become peripherally aware. Okay. Now many of us think about peripheral as you have peripheral vision, which you can see things that are normally outside of most people's vision. I know I have great peripheral vision. Okay. But what about having a peripherally aware heart? Spirit, soul, where I can begin to detect things that are outside of my normal, you know, vision or my normal thinking or whatever, that it's something you can detect Okay? So just the process of trying to be more aware of the needs of others pushes you into greater and greater levels of being consciously awake. Okay? So being peripherally aware pushes you into greater levels, greater and greater levels of being consciously awake. Now you are really living and moving towards the awakened life. So the infinite way to conscious living is what we're talking about. The infinite way to conscious living engages us in spiritual practices that focuses our awareness both within and without. We become the bearers and producers of miracles, causing miraculous changes in our own mind, body, soul, and spirit, as well as the mind, body, soul, and spirit of those whose our lives touch. Okay, and again, I believe that many of you who are listening to this understand that you have this intuition that just guides you to do things that are maybe outside of what you were thinking about doing. Okay. So, you know, this is what Jesus was seeking to do. He sought to bring about the ultimate awakening to the sleeping human psyche. He sought to help us realize our own indwelling Christ presence and how to activate it in our lives. Simply, he sought to awaken us to the truth about ourselves. So the infinite way to conscious living, as taught in Unity, is to follow a path that will allow us to discover the truth about ourselves for ourselves. Let me say that again. Okay, the infinite way to conscious living, as taught in Unity, is to follow a path that will allow us to discover the truth about ourselves for ourselves. And that is what we believe Jesus came here to do, that being to awaken us to the reality that we are also divine. So these ideas that we teach in Unity, such as being a miracle worker, requires us to discover the truth about ourselves, that being that we are the Christ, that we have the potential to truly be miracle workers in our own mind, body, life, and affairs, and in the lives of others. So there's been some discussion around the word and idea potential. But if you think about it, the definition for potential, which is the chance or possibility that what you want in your life experience will develop and become real because the ability to make it real has been placed within you. The idea that this reality is yours, waiting to come into expression in your life and affairs, adds a whole other level of faith and knowing to your prayers. It is knowing that what I want or need is mine, because within me is a potential of divine ability to make it so. Okay? So our divine ability exists within us, waiting for us to discover and use it to create miracles in our lives and in the lives of others. Now, hopefully your intellect is not pushing that away and saying, I'm not a miracle worker. I can't create miracles, because you can, as Albert Einstein said, if you live your life believing you can't create miracles, then that is what you will get. But if you live your life believing that you can create miracles, you are a miracle worker, then that is what you will create. Okay. And you will create those miracles not only in your life, but in the lives of others. And in making changes, you'll be able to help make changes in the world, because you're putting that positive, uplifting, miracle thinking into the world. And again, we read in Acts 17:28, a verse we know so well, for in God we live and move and have our being. But just as a fish may not realize that it is living and moving and having its being in the ocean, we too may not realize that we live and move and have our being in what we call the kingdom of God, the realm of unlimited, infinite potential. And knowing it intellectually is not the same as truly knowing it. Okay? Now, it may help us to better understand what Jesus meant when he referred to the kingdom of God. Now, the book that I want to quote from is The Elder Brother by Robert Perry. Okay, and he says the actual phrase that is translated as kingdom of God has no real English equivalent. It does not mean what one would expect, a realm or a kingdom that God presides over. And so the kingdom of God is neither a heavenly realm, nor an earthly realm, nor an inner realm. What the term actually means is the activity of God ruling, the kingly power of God expressing itself in deeds. So God is king and action. Perhaps the closest we can come to a direct translation is the rule of God, okay? And again, this is true of many things in the Bible, especially like Jesus spoke in Aramaic, because Aramaic is a pictorial language, so it is difficult to translate it directly into English. That's why you hear Jesus say a lot, the kingdom of heaven is like, so he's creating a parable. Because it's difficult, and he had to create a parable that worked in the minds of the people at the time because it was difficult to use that language to really describe in detail what he wanted them to understand. So to better understand this, if we substitute love, so what we just read, if we substitute love, okay, for the word God and personalize the definition that we just read, it would sound like this. The kingdom of God is the activity of love ruling in my life and affairs. Or the kingdom of God is the ruling power of love expressing itself in my deeds. Or love is king in all my thoughts, words, and actions. Or as the author said, the closest translation would be, I live under the rule of love. Okay? So Jesus was trying to teach us that the kingdom of God is a personal experience. God's kingdom is whatever divine attribute you need God to be in the experience in your life. Okay? So if it is faith that you need, then the kingdom of God is the activity of faith ruling in your life and affairs. If it is healing that you need, then the kingdom of God is the activity of healing ruling in your life and affairs. So to experience the kingdom of God, you would envision faith or healing or love or abundance as king, law, or the Lord in action in your life and affairs. Or as the author said, the closest translation of the experience of the kingdom of God would be to know that you live under the rule of that which you desire. We live under the rule of that which we desire. Striving to know this ruling divine idea is the infinite way to conscious living. So when you're trying to think, well, what rule am I living under now? Okay, and you know, once you get your mind fixed on the rule that you need for the time, if it's healing or love or abundance or you know whatever it might be. Okay, you have to, that becomes the infinite way to conscious living. You are consciously living under that rule, right? So it is remaining conscious that God is the rule under which you live. So much so, and this is important, so much so that no other rule can have any power over you or your life. You get what I'm saying? So if you use this idea of God is ruling in your life and change the word God for whatever you need it to be, okay? Healing, faith, peace, joy, whatever it might be. That becomes a ruling force in your life. It will overpower any other rule that will be trying to take, you know, have any power over you. You know, my favorite metaphysical teachers, you hear me talk about so much, not much, Ed Rabel down in Unity Village would say, consciousness is king. Meaning how you experience the kingdom of God in your life depends on the state of your consciousness. So in times of contention with others, love must be king. In times of desperation, faith must be king. In those times when you do not know which way to turn, wisdom must be king. And in those times when you feel physically and emotionally exhausted, strength must be king. And when disease is challenging the health of your body, life must be king. And in those times of confusion and disorder, we all know this. Divine order must be king. Now again, compare these kings to the thoughts we normally allow to be king in our consciousness. And we will begin to see why certain challenges seem to persist in our lives. In the book, Practical Metaphysics, Eric Butterworth explains, metaphysics does not deal with changing the world. Metaphysics does not deal with changing the world. The whole principle is based upon ourselves. It is not the world that we're concerned about, but our thoughts about the world. So when the next tragedy strikes, and it will, yes, we will mourn, shed a tear, and feel our hearts deeply touched. You know, let yourself go with what you feel, and then settle into a prayer for all who are involved. Remember, we are miracle workers, meaning we may never know what impact our prayers are having on what is occurring in the world. And yes, I agree, it is difficult, but through much prayer, meditation, and contemplation on the ruling power of God, this is possible. Remember, it is our daily choices that shift the nature of our consciousness. So the question we need to ask ourselves every moment of every day is, what kingdom am I going to allow to rule in me today? Will it be the kingdom of fear or the kingdom of God? That's the question we need to ask. Right in the beginning of the day, first thing you wake up in the morning, put your feet on the ground, and that becomes your thought. What king am I going to allow to rule in me today? So I'm going to leave you with this thought from Elizabeth Lesser, Science of Mind magazine, Sunday, today, May 29th, 2022. She says, when you feel yourself breaking down, I like this, when you feel yourself breaking down, may you break open instead. May every experience in your life be a door that opens your heart, expands your understanding, and leads you to your greatest life. And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Okay, Unity family, let's find that comfortable position right where you are, feet flat to the floor, and you may close your eyes if you wish. Take some deep, deep breaths in and out, and feel your body totally relaxing. We are now in a state of calmness and hope. There has been so much on our hearts and minds this week. We all need to feel God's Spirit deep within. Folks have been dealing with so much tragedy and sickness. We need God's strength and comfort right now. Our hearts are grieving for those who are hurting, for those who have lost loved ones, for those little children who have suffered such great tragedy. We thank you that you are the great comforter to their parents, friends, and relatives, that you would cover them with your grace and mercy, surrounding them in peace during this dark time in their lives. We pray now for comfort for all who grieve, and that they will be blessed with your strength always. We thank you, God, that you alone are our refuge, our strong tower, our way shower, and our peace. We thank you that no matter what we face, you are still in control. You alone have won the final victory. Now please use this time to know and remember who you are and why you are here. We thank you, God, that you are surely with us. Thank you that your presence is close. We feel your everlasting love. We know and believe beyond any doubt that your power and love will never fail. Today we accept our partnership with the infinite, and all is well. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our elder brother and way-shower, we are grateful, and so it is. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and be blessed.
Well, that was right on for you. Thank you. So, this is a time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that comes into our personal lives and come into our spiritual home. And we, a heartfelt thank you for all of the donations that you're sending to support Unity Center of Light. These are very interesting times, and most of us are watching this virtually. And so we want the virtual audience to be, feel as much a part of the Unity Center of Light as everyone else. And so we are thankful that, you know, when you send those offerings in and help us support what we're doing here. And, you know, we ask you to hold that offering in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. We know many of you give through the many different virtual ways of giving. And again, if you did not hear in the beginning, if you click on that Show More button at the bottom, you'll see the different ways that you can give to Unity Center of Light. And again, we thank you for that. So let us say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. And you have light notes?
Yes. Okay. So light notes for today, Sunday, May 29th. June 12th is the date for the book discussion of What Happened to You, the book by Oprah Winfrey and Bruce Perry. Join us from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And remember to join us each weekday from 4 p.m. to 4:15 for a 15-minute time of upliftment and meditation. We call it Keeping the High Watch. We need this time to connect with each other in spirit as we navigate the events in our country which are happening over and over again. And Cape and Springs. We have reserved spaces up at Cape and Springs, West Virginia, for our fall retreat. The dates are Friday, September the 9th through Sunday, September the 11th. Many of you have been asking when we will be going back there, so now is the opportunity to step forward and join us. Please check your weekly updates next week for the fillable registration form. It'll also be in the e-newsletter. And we hope you will join us. Your weekend cost includes lodging, 3 all-you-can-eat home-cooked meals daily, unlimited Cape and Springs water, sports such as badminton, croquet, basketball, frisbee, on and on. They have a wonderful Hygieia spa, and we also have a little golf course, so those would be an additional cost. So for more information about the agenda for the weekend, check your updates and your newsletter. Thank you.
Yeah, they do have a wonderful golf course, but it is challenging.
Yes.
Because it's a mountain golf course. and we just want to share with those of you who have not heard that if you know Willie Sutton, if you've been a member of Unity Center Light for a while, you know dear Willie. He passed away this past week, and we're working with the family to when we're going to have a memorial service for him, and we will let everybody know once we have that information. All right, so now
we're going to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
So we're very thankful for having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you in the Zoom right after this. If not, have a wonderful week and a very safe Memorial weekend, and we will see you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.